Matthew chapter 25. Then, and this is Jesus, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Why? What was the difference? Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were not prepared. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they were all set. They're going to be okay because they made preparations. They thought ahead. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So the bridegroom is taking longer than expected, and the 10 virgins fall asleep. 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. The time has arrived. It's time to go out and meet him. It wasn't the time that you expected. Delayed a little longer than what you thought, but the time has arrived, so take advantage of your opportunity right now. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So started out well. They wake up, they trim their lamps. Notice verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We ran out of oil. We can't go any further. We can't proceed to the bridegroom because we don't have any oil in our lamps. Our lamps aren't working. 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. It's your own fault. You took this job lightly. You didn't prepare. You were not concerned enough about doing things the right way. And now you're paying and you're missing your opportunity. And it's every person for themselves. And that's the way it is with us and God too, with us and Jesus, with us and salvation. It's every person for themselves. You can't rely on someone else to help you on Judgment Day. If you haven't prepared by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, Verse 9, verse 10, I should say. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And that was it. They were prepared, so they were blessed. They were ready. They were cautious. They did what needed to be done. And so they went into the wedding. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We weren't ready before, but we've changed our mind. We're ready now. 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Too late. You had your chance, and you blew it. Because you were not as concerned as you should have been. You thought you could be lazy and indifferent and still make it. And you just found out the hard way that you can't. And a lot of people are going to find out the hard way after they die or if they're still around on Judgment Day. They thought they could just be lackadaisical, not really care, live their life any way they wanted to, not really get serious about Jesus, and they'd still be all right. Somehow, some way, it'd be all right. You're just kidding yourself if that's what you think. Learn a lesson from the parable of the 10 virgins, because that's why Jesus told it. 13, watch therefore, for you now know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Be prepared. Be ready right now. Don't put it off. 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. So you have a man who's taken a long trip and he calls his servants. He's got a job for them. 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and immediately took his journey. So before the man left, he gave each one of his servants something to do and the means to do it. And they had different levels of talent and skill, and so they would have different opportunities to do what the master wanted them to do. It was according to their ability, but they could all do something. 16. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he got busy, he used what he had, and he did very well. 17. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. He used what he had, wasn't as much, but he was faithful, and he did all right with what he had. You know, well, let's read verse 18. But he that received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He didn't do anything. He didn't have much to work with in the beginning, but what he had, he completely squandered. 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them, settles account. It's judgment day. Let's see what you did with your opportunities. 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I've doubled what you've given me. I've been busy. 21. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. I'll reward you because you did what was right. You took advantage of the opportunities that I gave you. 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. So I did what I could with what I had. 23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. So, even though he only gained 2 talents, as opposed to the person who gained 5, he still will be rewarded, because he was faithful to use what he had. And see, that's what God looks at. God doesn't necessarily look at numbers. He looks at faithfulness. He doesn't even necessarily look at results, the way man measures results. Because you would think, well, look at this guy, he gained 5. He's a lot better off than the guy who gained 2. No, not really. Both were told the same thing by their Lord. Both would be blessed. Both would be rewarded. Because God doesn't measure success as man does. God measures success by faithfulness, by effort. 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. I knew what kind of a person you were. You were not fair. He didn't have a very high view of his Lord, did he? He is saying that, I know you're not a fair man. I know you're mean, and you demand way more than what you should. 25. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. So, lo, there, have, that is yours. Is your one measly talent. I did absolutely nothing with it. Because, be frank with you, he didn't like his Lord. He wasn't interested in serving him. 26. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not scattered. You wicked person, you're wicked and you're lazy because you didn't use what I gave you. Can you guess where this is going? 27. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, to the bankers. Then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. At least you would have been able to give me some interest. If you would have done that, you would have shown that you had some kind of concern. It would have shown that you had a desire, at least somewhat of a desire, to please me, which is what you're supposed to have. I'm your Lord. He's not very happy. 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. You're getting nothing because you didn't care. You didn't care about your Lord, so he's not going to care about you. You had your chance. You had your grace period. You squandered it because you really didn't care. There's a lot of people who are squandering their grace period, their opportunity, because they really don't care about God, and they're going to end up with nothing. Actually, worse than nothing. 29, Jesus says, for to everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. So if you have done something to prove that you care about your Lord, that you had faith in his return, faith in him, then you will be rewarded with much more than what you had in this life, in the time of testing. But if you didn't even use what you had, whether it was a little or a lot, because it was obvious you didn't care and you had a bad opinion about your Lord, and in this case, Jesus Christ, then you're going to be in trouble when you see him. Big trouble, because notice what Jesus says in 30, and cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. You don't care about Jesus, you're going to hell. You don't serve Jesus, you're going to hell. 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And that's going to be judgment day. And Jesus is going to be high and exalted, and all of his past enemies will know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And Jesus knows who belongs to him and who does not. And there's coming the great separation on judgment day. 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the right hand was the hand of blessing. So that'll be a dead giveaway. If you're standing on the right hand of Jesus on judgment day, it indicates you're in pretty good shape. You'd probably still be nervous. Verse 34, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's been waiting for you, and now you can enter it. I've had these plans for a long time, Jesus will say, and you've worked hard, and you've cared about me, so come on in and enjoy yourself. Well, how did he know that those people belonged to him? 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. In other words, you served me. We're saved by faith, but faith that saves always works. Saving faith always causes one to work for Jesus, to care about Jesus. 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came to you? We don't remember doing these things. I mean, we never saw you on earth. People are going to say to Jesus, we never saw you on earth. Christians are going to say to Jesus, we didn't do these things for anybody who looked like you. So what do you mean? 40, and the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. One test as to whether you're saved or not is, do you care about other Christians who love Jesus? And these people did. Look, when you're doing right for the glory of God, when you're doing right, when you're doing what the Bible says you ought to do in order to please Jesus, it's as if he's here in the flesh and you're doing it to him personally, because you are doing it to him personally. That's how he sees it. 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you know that hell was never prepared for man? Man goes there because they reject God, because they reject Jesus. They reject the Savior. The only escape from there, they reject it. You're going to go there, and you're going to be with the devil and his fallen angels. 42, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. In other words, you didn't care about me. You had my word, just like everybody else. You knew it. To the degree that you knew truth, you didn't live up to it because you didn't care about me. It just goes to show that you were not saved. 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? If we would have saw you, Jesus, then we would have done something. No, they wouldn't have. They say they would have, and they're shocked. We didn't know we weren't taking care of you. We didn't know we were not being nice to you. Well, you would have if you would have read the Bible, but you didn't care enough to even check into it. 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. How a person treats a Christian who is really a Christian. I'm talking about somebody who is saved, born again, and dwelt by the Spirit of God, and cares about Jesus. How one treats someone like that is an indicator of whether they're saved or not, because it indicates whether they care about Jesus or not. And what's their final destiny if they don't care? 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everlasting punishment is exactly what Jesus said. It's punishment that will last forever. It's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth that will last forever. It's never going to end. That is the just punishment for someone who has sinned against the holy God, and then on top of that, flat out rejected his offer of mercy and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ.